ભગવાન ઉવાચ. અનાશ્રિત કર્મ ફલં કાર્યં કર્મ કરોતિ યઃ સ સંન્યાસી ચ યોગી ચ ન નિરાગ્નિર ન ક્ષત્રિયા. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this chapter, the Lord explains that the process of the Eightfold Yoga System is a means to control the mind and senses. However, this is very difficult for people in general to perform, especially in this age of Kali. Krishna, in the first sloka of this chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, is explaining what is the true meaning of renunciation. When Krishna wants to teach the world, he teaches not only through his words, but through the lives of his devotees, those great souls who are surrendered to the words of the Supreme Lord. Krishna very purposefully cast Arjuna into a condition of confusion and bewilderment. Arjuna was above the modes of material nature. He was beyond the instabilities and insecurities of the speculative mind. He was Krishna's friend and devotee. But Krishna wanted to teach the world how to overcome the essential problems of life. And therefore, wanting to do this through the agent of his own intimate associate, Arjuna, he covered Arjuna over by the yoga maya potency. There are two types of maya. Maya means the Lord's divine energy. There is his spiritual energy, which is called Daivi Shakti or yoga maya. And there is the material energy called Mahamaya. The difference between the two is yoga maya is meant to increase the love, the devotion, and the service of the Lord's pure, unalloyed servants. And Mahamaya is utilized to cover the truth, to cover reality from those who misuse their free will to try to enjoy separate from Krishna. Mahamaya fulfills the desires of those who want to consider themselves apart from God. And this Mahamaya is constituted of three modes of material nature: sattva-guna, rajaguna, tamaguna. These gunas are like ropes that keep the conditioned soul endlessly bound up. These ropes are pulling a person in all directions. We see within our own lives, our minds and our senses being victimized by these ropes of sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And there are so many variations of how these modes of material nature mix together to create so many unlimited forms of desires, anticipations, and longings in our life. And 1 minute one rope is pulling us, and another minute another rope is pulling us. So chitti kang chitti, hankering, lamenting, bewilderment, confusion, not knowing really what is to be done, what is not to be done. Or sometimes the ropes of Maya make us so convinced that we know the truth, we know what is right, we know what is dharma, we know the goal of life, but we are simply in a grand illusion, bewildered. Arjuna was not under this illusion. Arjuna was under the Yogamaya potency. Krishna was personally putting him in a state of consciousness that appeared just like everyone else in this world, just to teach the world the truth. Arjuna saw before him the forces of dharma and the forces of adharma, the Pandavas and the Kurus. The forces which help us to surrender to the will of God, and those forces which keep us bound to the sentimental attachments of the body and the mind. And this is the condition of every one of us in this world. Arjuna was wondering, what is real renunciation? I want to leave this battlefield. I want to leave this field of so much activity and controversy, and I want to go to the forest. And you are telling me to stay in this battlefield and fight. What is the real meaning of renunciation? And Krishna is here explaining that true renunciation is one who is unattached to the fruits of his actions, but who works according to the will of the Supreme Lord. That is the perfection of renunciation. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that anything that can be used in the service of God, to use it in the service of God is perfect renunciation. To give it up, to relinquish it with the misconception that it is material, is imperfect, incomplete renunciation. To utilize everything of Krishna's energy for Krishna's pleasure is the highest knowledge, the greatest form of detachment, and it is true yoga. Krishna has explained it all so clearly in Gita. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained to us that the highest, purest truths, the essence of life, is contained within the great scriptures, the Vedas. But by reading these scriptures, even birth after birth after birth after birth, you will never come to the conclusion of what is the real goal of life and how to achieve it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, the real secret of the truths of what are in the words of God are within the hearts of His pure devotees. And they are revealed through the actions of the pure devotees. Those great personalities who live according to the true principles of devotion, they reveal to us what is really Bhagavad Gita. And when we hear from them and see how they live, then Krishna reveals knowledge. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena seva. Upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastapadarshana. Krishna does not say, if you want to know the truth, read scriptures. Krishna says, if you want to know the truth, you must approach an authorized servant of Him, a spiritual master. And like Arjuna, we must inquire submissively. And we must be willing to render service by carrying out those instructions, by living by those teachings. In this way, the self-realized soul can actually reveal the essence of the scriptures to you. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling through the southern parts of India, he went to the holy place of Ranga Kshetra. At that time in South India, Ranga Kshetra was the highest seat of learning. It was the capital of the Sri Sampradaya of Jamunacharya, Ramanujacharya, and his disciplic succession. In that wonderful, beautiful temple compound, every day, so many great and learned pundits would study the scriptures. And the basic scripture is Bhagavad Gita. And they were very profoundly learned and highly trained. And they would chant the Sanskrit slokas of the Vedas, the Puranas, the Itihastas, the Upanishads, the Mahabharata, Ramayana, the perfect metric Sanskrit meter and everything. And there was one simple Brahmin who would sit in that courtyard and he would every day read the entire 700 slokas of Bhagavad Gita. But he wasn't a very learned scholar. And therefore, when he would sing the slokas of Gita, sometimes he would say it right and sometimes wrong. And oftentimes the great pundits, they would laugh at him. They would declare him to be quite useless, quite uneducated, quite uninformed. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, the Yuga Avatar, Krishna in His most munificent, magnificent and merciful of all incarnations. When He saw this simple Brahman sitting alone, struggling through the texts of the Gita, He became very pleased. He asked him, "What is it you are reading from Gita?" The Brahman said, "I really do not understand so much the words, nor do I really know how much properly I am reciting them. But my spiritual master, he has ordered me that each and every day I should read the entire Bhagavad Gita. And whether I am qualified or unqualified, whatever anyone may think of me or laugh at me or condemn me, is not important, because I have faith in the words of my spiritual master. I have made them my life and soul." When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he became overwhelmed with love and joy. The Brahman continued. Lord Chaitanya said, "Actually, there are tears flowing from your eyes. Why is this?" And the Brahman said that by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, I am reading and I am just seeing this vision that there is Krishna in His beautiful blackish form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of all Lords, the Absolute Truth. And He is taking the humble position of the charioteer, the servant of His own devotee, Arjuna. When I think of the love that Krishna has for His devotee, tears fill my eyes. And this is my constant meditation as reading Bhagavad Gita. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great pleasure,
embraced him.
And when he embraced him, he inundated that Brahman's heart with pure unalloyed love for Krishna, the ultimate perfection of life. Because he was so simple and humble and dedicated to the service of his guru, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that state of spiritual consciousness that all of the other pundits and greatly learned scholars may not achieve for many, many, many births and deaths studying the scriptures. So Krishna teaches through the life of his devotees. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that there was one particular devotee who the essence of all the scriptures was revealed through his life and his words. And today is the disappearance day of that devotee, Srila Madhavendra Puri. Srila Prabhupada declared that Madhavendra Puri was the king of the Vaishnavas. He appeared from the spiritual world. He took initiation in the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Madhavendra Puri planted the seed of pure love of God in the highest and sweetest form. And later on, his disciple Ishwara Puri watered that seed. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwara Puri, and he made that seed, originally planted by Madhavendra Puri, into a great, great tree. The tree of love of God. And the branches and the leaves of that tree were spread throughout the universe, dropping the fruits of life's perfection for all living beings to achieve. On this day, the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri, every year there's a big, big festival that is celebrated by our movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It takes place in Shantipur. Shantipur is the home of Sri Advaitacharya, just near Mayapur, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And today, at this very time, tens and thousands of people from all around, perhaps hundreds and thousands of people, are being fed for free, sumptuous feast of Krishna's prasad. The poor, the destitute, the middle class, the wealthy, everyone in all directions comes to Shantipur on this day to receive the wonderful, wonderful prasad that the devotees give out. It's a joyous festival. And along with the prasad, there is wonderful, wonderful kirtan. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally announced that anyone who honors the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri on this particular day and eats his feast, he will achieve pure love of Krishna and become completely detached from all of the miseries of this material world. This is the power of Madhavendra Puri's blessings. So I'd like to explain quite briefly the history of this feast taking place in Shantipur. Madhavendra Puri was such a devotee that He had no concern for anything that was not related to devotion to Krishna. He didn't want to hear anything or get involved with any situation that was not in Krishna consciousness. He was truly one in the renounced order of life. But at that time, which was about two generations before the advent of Lord Chaitanya, there was practically no devotion to Krishna. No pure devotion to God anywhere to be found. And he was constantly looking and searching for a true devotee to have kirtan with and have Krishna katha with. But he could not find anywhere. He searched towns, villages, cities. The common people, he noticed, they were so materialistic. Even the pious people, even those who were worshipping the gods and God, what was their goal and ambition? Please, let my wealth and family increase. And others were worshipping serpents and demons with flesh and with wine. And others were worshipping various demigods simply to increase their material sense gratification, prestige. And the most pious people, at very rare times when they were bathing in a holy river like the Ganges, they may chant the name of Krishna or Vasudev. But what is the meaning of a Vaishnava? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that a Vaishnava is one who is aspiring for unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord, with no material expectations for themselves. This is Vaishnava. He could not find. He searched. He even approached the great sannyasis. And every sannyasi, when he approached them and began to talk, they all declared that they were Narayan. Om Namo Narayana. When a devotee says Om Namo Narayana, it means all glories to the Lord in your heart, who is our eternal master, Narayan. But others, when they say Om Namo Narayan, they mean all glories to me, because I'm Narayan. And all glories to you, because you are Narayan. But Krishna explains in Gita, Mamayavamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. No one can ever become Narayan. Narayan is Narayan always. We are eternally his parts and parcels. We are his eternal servants. So Madhavendra Puri would have nothing to do with the materialistic general people. He would have nothing to do with the sannyasis. He decided he should just go to the forest. Why? It's better to be without any people than to be with people who are simply materialistic. Asat sangatyaga avaishnava achar. Associating with materialistic people makes one materialistic. And association with saintly people make you saintly. Sadhu satsang is the first and most essential principle in our spiritual lives. There is no alternative to this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you want to cross over this ocean of material existence, Bhava Sagara, then you must avoid association with people who are too much attached to sense enjoyment. And you must associate with holy people. Srila Prabhupada describes what is this Bhava Sagara, ocean of material existence. He says, on this earth, there is ocean, like the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, big, big bodies of water. But above that ocean of water, there is an ocean of air. And above that ocean of air is the ocean of sky. And just like in the water ocean, there are so many islands in the form of continents. There is North America, South America, Asia, Australia, Europe, Antarctica, Arctic, Africa. And then there are littler islands like Sri Lanka or Mauritius or Hawaii, like that. So just as there are oceans in this water, similarly in the Bhava Sagara, in the ocean of material existence, throughout this space which is like the ocean, there are so many planets which are like islands. That's why this particular planet system is called Jambudvip. It means it's an island floating in the ocean of material existence. And we are all the tiny little crawling residents of this island. But in this ocean of material existence, there is so much suffering. The suffering of the repetition of birth and death, old age and disease. Abrama bhuvana loka punar avartano arjana mamupetyatu konteya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this ocean of material existence, that island called Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planetary system of Patalaloka, they are all places of suffering, of repeated birth and death. If we want to cross over, we must associate with those persons who will take us by the hand and walk with us beyond this ocean by keeping us always conscious of the Supreme Lord and our natural position of being His eternal servant. And how is that possible? Through the congregational chanting of the holy names. So Madhavendra Puri, in his travels, he came to Shantipur, and there he met Advaitacharya. Sri Advaitacharya was avatar of Sri Mahavishnu and Shiva, Sadashiva. And he was also a great devotee of the Lord. And he was also so much in distress to see the condition of human society. As Madhavendra Puri was praying to the Supreme Lord Krishna to descend out of compassion to deliver the fallen souls, in the same way Sri Advaitacharya was praying in this way. And when they met, it was a wonderful, wonderful celebration of love. And at that time, Advaitacharya surrendered at the feet of Madhavendra Puri and accepted it, begged him for initiation and asked him for instructions. And in this way, the initiation took place. Madhavendra Puri was celebrated through so many wonderful pastimes, which are told in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other great scriptures. Some of the greatest personalities on earth were his disciples, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram himself, Brahmananda Bharati, Ramananda Purati, Paramananda Puri, one of the Lord's closest, most intimate associates, Advaitacharya. It is even said Keshava Bharati, the sannyas guru of Lord Chaitanya, was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. But of all of his disciples, there was one that he very specially blessed. And the reason is so important for us to understand. His name was Ishwara Puri. When Madhavendra Puri was very, very old, he was an invalid. He could not step out of his bed, what we call deathbed. In his last days in the world, Ishwara Puri was so faithfully serving him with the greatest humility and faith. With great love and affection, he would clean the urine and the stool from the body of his guru with his own hands, grateful for the opportunity to render such service, considering it the treasure of his life. And he would continuously, throughout the day and throughout the night, he would describe to his guru the pastimes of Lord Krishna, the teachings of Lord Krishna, and he would be constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. In this way, Madhavendra Puri became so pleased with Ishwara Puri that he gave him a great benediction. He said to Ishwara Puri that I pray to Lord Krishna that he gives you pure devotional service. I pray to Lord Krishna that he always engages you in his loving service and blesses you with pure, unalloyed love for Krishna. When one pleases the Guru by such sincere and humble service, through the blessings of the Guru, we get the blessings of Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in this way, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. That if one satisfies Guru Maharaj, one satisfies Krishna. But if one does not satisfy Guru Maharaj, there is no possibility of satisfying Krishna. This is declared by Krishna himself. There is nothing so precious as the blessings of the great souls. Because Ishwara Puri received this benediction, he became such an exalted devotee that the Supreme Lord himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted him as his spiritual master. Why is this? Lord Chaitanya is the spiritual master of all the worlds. He is Jagat Guru. He could accept anyone as his spiritual master, but ultimately he is everyone's spiritual master. But he accepted in order to show the world by his example, as did Lord Ramchandra by accepting Vishwamitra Muni, as did Lord Sri Krishna by accepting Sandipani Muni. But he wanted to show that he accepted that spiritual master that was the most humble, loving servant of his spiritual master. He wanted to show the world the glories of Madhavendra Puri. And the humble servant. Lord Chaitanya loved his spiritual master so much, Ishwara Puri, that he went to his birthplace, Kumarahati, on pilgrimage, and he personally took the dirt from that place and ate it. And he collected that dirt, and every day from then on he would take a little portion and eat it. And with tears of love in his eyes, he would say that this earth, from the birthplace of my guru, is my greatest treasure, it is my greatest wealth, it is my very life. What does that dirt mean? Dirt means the dust from the lotus feet. And what does the dust of the lotus feet represent? It represents humble service. When Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world, he was chanting this prayer. Ai dina dayardranata hai matura nata kadavalokshase hrudayam padaloka khataram daita bhramyati kim karomyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? This is the prayer that Srimati Radharani, in the perfection of her ecstasy of love for Krishna, chanted when Krishna had left Vrindavan to go away to Mathura. It is the prayer of loving separation to the Lord. Madhavendra Puri taught the world the highest, most pure and perfect way of love for God. Vipralamba, love in separation. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself took this prayer chanted by Madhavendra Puri as his life and soul. In the Ratha Yatra, before Lord Jagannath, he would chant this prayer in great ecstatic love. After Madhavendra Puri disappeared from this world, his devotees continued to preach the glories of this Harinam Sankirtan movement. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Shantipur with all of his devotees, his intimate devotees, one day he noticed that Advaitacharya was making wonderful grand arrangements to celebrate this day, the disappearance of Madhavendra Puri. And when everyone out found out that today is the wonderful opportunity for all of us to do something wonderful to glorify this great Vaishnava, they all became so much excited. They were all volunteering for so many types of service. Every devotee was enthused, excited. Mother Sachi Devi, she said, "Let me be in charge of the cooking." And all the other Vaishnavas' wives, they all gathered around Sachi Devi to assist her in cooking. And jubilantly, joyfully, they were engaged in all the various preparations. Another devotee came forward with great happiness. "I will string the flowers." Another said, "I will clean the rooms." Another, "I will clean the temple. I will bring the water. I will go and buy ghee." Another said, "I will go and buy this sabji and this rice. I will make the flags. I will make the festoons. I will perform this decoration." In this way, the devotees were just ecstatically volunteering for more and more service. And the whole house and the area of Sri Advaita's house was just a festivity of devotees working and working and serving blissfully together to glorify this great devotee of the Lord. This is the way our festivals should be. This is the way our temples should be. They should be full of ecstatic enthusiasm, of devotees just running and volunteering. "Let me do this. What can I do? How can I serve?" This is what creates the atmosphere of the spiritual world. It's not that people just came just on time and let everyone else do all the work. "I will come just in time for prasad." This is not Lord Chaitanya's mood or his devotees. The preparation, the enthusiasm of working together is ecstatic. And meanwhile, while everyone else was busy, 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 serving, 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 anxious, enthused, other devotees were blowing conch shells, others were ringing bells, others were dancing and dancing and dancing, and so many of them were loudly carrying on with kirtans, with mridangas and karathals, with the chanting of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see what type of arrangements were made. So he walked throughout the premise inspecting. And there he saw roomfuls of rice, roomfuls of thousands and thousands of bananas, roomfuls of sabjis, roomfuls of dal and different types of fried items, thousands of jars of ghee and cream and yogurt and milk. Everything Advaitacharya had, he gave everything to celebrate this festival for his spiritual master. He left nothing. And all the devotees were doing the same. In this way, it was grand, it was glorious, it was wonderful. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. He was thinking, Advaitacharya must be Lord Shiva. No one could make arrangements like this except him. And he was just again and again and again praising Advaitacharya for his great sacrifice and praising all the devotees for their enthusiastic service. And after walking through the grounds, finally Lord Chaitanya came into the Kirtan hall. And the devotees that were singing the Kirtan, when they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come into the Kirtan hall, they just became mad with transcendental love and enthusiasm to loudly chant the holy names. And they were dancing and dancing and dancing for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he became so happy. There's nothing that pleases the Lord more than when he sees the devotee lovingly together dancing and chanting Krishna's names. It is the Yuga Dharma. It is the topmost process of purification of the heart. And it is the greatest way to express our love. Vishnu himself explained, Tatra tishtami Narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. My dear Narada, Rishi, you will not find me in the caves with the yogis or in the institutions of the scholars of the Vedanta. Where will you find me? Not in those places where people are performing great, great sacrifices of rituals. You will find me wherever the devotees are gathered together, dancing ecstatically and loudly chanting my name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare.
So Lord Chaitanya was very, very happy. And to reciprocate with the joy of the devotees, he began to dance. The beautiful dance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the perfection of all spiritual sweetness. And the kirtan was so wonderful that sometimes all the devotees were dancing and Lord Chaitanya was encouraging them and watching them and chanting with them. And then at other times all the devotees would stop. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga, he would all alone begin to dance so beautifully. And all the devotees would be in a circle around him, absolutely intoxicated by the ecstasy of his beautiful dancing. And as he was dancing, they all were loudly encouraging him through the loud chanting of his holy name. And at other times, Lord Gauranga would stop dancing. And then all the devotees would start dancing around him. And then they would stop and he would dance. Solo dance. And other times, they would all dance together, chanting the holy names. It was an inundation of transcendental sound vibration. Through all the four directions, nothing could be heard but the resounding ecstatic sound of Harinam.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama. Flowers, it went on throughout the entire day. And no one was tired. Everyone was simply floating on the waves of the ecstasy of Krishna Nam, the ultimate perfection of life. And at the end of the day, all the devotees sat down. And then Sri Advaitacharya began to bring all of the many, many, many preparations that were prepared by Sachi Devi and others. And when all the devotees were sitting and the prasad was distributed, Lord Chaitanya and his associates began to honor and partake of this prasad in great happiness, knowing that this prasad was none different than Krishna himself. Krishna is absolute. When we take prasad, we should know that Krishna, by his mercy, is present within that prasad. Prasad means mercy. And when real devotees eat prasad, they do not just eat to nourish their bodies. They do not eat just to satisfy the particular tastes of their tongue. They do not eat to fill the hollowness of their stomach. Devotees eat in a mood of honoring and worshipping Krishna in the form of this prasad by just humbly accepting that mercy which nourishes the body, the mind, and most important, the soul. By taking prasad in proper consciousness, we are actually performing yoga, highest form of yoga. Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, when he went to the West, some people would listen to his pure teachings of the philosophy of Sanatana Dharma, and they would become convinced. Others would become very much attracted to the wonderful kirtan of the holy name, and they would become convinced. But for people who were too dull and covered over by material modes of nature to appreciate Sanatana Dharma philosophy or Harinam Kirtan, Srila Prabhupada would just give them prasad with complete faith that simply by eating this prasad they will surrender to Krishna. And thousands of people all over the world, just by eating prasad, they became so purified that they took to the process and gave up all their sinful activities. And for people of the West to give up their sinful activities is nothing less than a major miracle. Eating meat and flesh and drinking the blood of animals, even the most saintly people, even the religious leaders are addicted to these things. What to speak of the common man? Illicit sex is just the common way of life. It is the socially acceptable, normal way of surviving in the world. After all, if the dogs and hogs can't do it, then how do they expect us to do it? That is the philosophy when it comes to controlling that tendency. And gambling and intoxication, practically every social function, it is integrated with intoxications. Whatever people do, they have more fun doing it when they're intoxicated. So habituated. But simply by giving these people lower than animals prasad, gradually by just taking some prasad, they became purified. They were able to understand the goal of life, and they naturally started chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his devotees were eating the wonderful, wonderful feast that was offered to Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya and all of them were so satisfied. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after washing his hands, he personally put garlands on each devotee and anointed their heads with sandalwood. The greatest joy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to serve and give pleasure to his devotees. And then Lord Chaitanya declared that today we are all most fortunate, because we have come together to honor and show our love for the greatest of all devotees, Sri Madhavendra Puri. And anyone on this day of his disappearance, anyone on this titi of Madhavendra Puri, who honors his prasad and glorifies him, will become freed from the clutches of material nature and achieve pure love for Krishna. This was the benediction the Lord has given us. So we are all very fortunate that we have come together tonight to celebrate this wonderful event on the order of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Madhavendra Puri He set the highest standard of detachment and devotion. The Lord Himself appeared to him in so many wonderful ways. In fact, there's a famous temple, one of the most famous temples in all of India, the temple of Srinathji. It was Madhavendra Puri that first discovered that deity and installed him on top of Govardhan Hill at Sri Gopal. And that deity personally spoke to Madhavendra Puri and instructed him to perform tremendous, tremendous austerities that risked his very life. And Madhavendra Puri performed those austerities. It is a wonderful and long narration. But Madhavendra Puri exemplified how without any personal consideration, one should be willing to fulfill whatever Krishna desires. He walked thousands of miles to bring sandalwood for Sri Gopal. Even through areas where there were dacoits and robbers and tax collectors and demoniac government officials, he never considered any inconvenience for himself. He would not even eat unless someone came personally to give him food. His mind was fixed in devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to glorify Madhavendra Puri because he wanted to show us that those great souls who were in the line of Lord Chaitanya, this is their aspiration, to ultimately serve the Lord without any personal considerations. Savai pung sang paro dharamo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahoyita ki aprati hata yagatma suprasidati. Because only such pure unalloyed love can bring the heart real satisfaction. We are all looking for satisfaction. But when our false ego, our mind and our senses try to convince the soul that by serving them you will get real satisfaction, that very voice is directing us away from our own real interest. The satisfaction of the soul is in seva to Bhagwan, to Sri Krishna, without consideration, whatever risk, whatever loss. That is not important. What is important is that Krishna is pleased with our humble effort. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. And how to please Krishna? With love. And what is the greatest expression of love? What is the most wonderful and only truly recommended process of bringing our heart to that unconditional state of love? This Lord Chaitanya taught, the congregational chanting of the holy names. So at this time, in the mood of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his wonderful will, let us participate in the congregational chanting of Krishna's names. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Within our very lifetime, that great illustrious personality, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, He revealed to us the essence of the truth. In the footsteps of Sri Madhavendra Puri and the great Acharyas, without personal consideration, He served the order of His spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Against all odds, with all the powers of Maya against Him, He disembarked from this land of India. With no one and nothing except faith in Guru and a mood of selfless service, He traveled to the foreign lands with the compassionate message of Lord Chaitanya that anyone who sincerely takes the name of Krishna will find the true happiness that our souls are longing for. Srila Prabhupada.